More than anything else, I'm learning what I've already known in my life is that artists do the coolest things. Lightfield Arts aims to use the power of visual art to illuminate environmental and social issues. The organization mounts an annual exhibit in Hudson, New York that showcases the work of photographers and multimedia artists through exhibitions, moderated talks, and educational outreach. This year's exhibition is Photo Plus Synthesis. And for it, Lightfield Arts has chosen seven artists to make or exhibit work focusing on the Hudson River Valley and climate change. Alongside these works, Lightfield exhibits the art produced in its annual Young Photographers Workshop. We are joined by Lightfield Arts Director and President Anna Van Lenten. Hello, Anna. How are you?
Hello.
Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
Vice President is Saskia Kahn. Kahn runs the Young Photographers Workshop. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Great pleasure to have you on the program. Let us begin with you, Anna, as far as how all of this came to be.
This started with me looking for a theme for our third annual exhibit of art, wanting to focus on the just on the Hudson River Valley and wanting to look at some of the mythologies in the valley with the Hudson River School of Art, with the wilderness, and looking at climate change, but not kind of as a photojournalistic, pictures of devastation and environmental degradation, but looking at the kind of science behind the art that we could produce for the show. So when I started to think about landscape and the oil paintings of the 19th century,
right,
which were of landscapes of the Hudson River Valley, and about commissioning new photography of the Hudson River Valley, I kind of narrowed down the focus to trees, because aesthetically they're magnificent. Who doesn't love a beautiful big tree? And I found out that there are three tree ring research labs in the Hudson River Valley. And so that kind of pulled together my art thread with my science thread and my climate change thread. And I can talk more about that in a little bit, but that was kind of the general, like, percolating thread ingredients that led me to this point.
So with tree ring science, I know that to be aging, to determine the aging of an individual tree. Is there more to it than that?
Yeah, what I came to understand by working with tree ring scientists at Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory in Palisades and Harvard Forest is that we started keeping records of meteorological records in the 1800s, in like the last part of the 1800s. And
right,
so before then, we don't have actual written down records of what climate was doing. So we have to look at, there are a variety of ways of inferring and connecting the dots for how the planet was, what it was experiencing before then. And tree rings is one way. You can look at a tree ring slab or a core, and there's been a ton of work done in the Hudson River Valley on drought conditions and precipitation. And from that, you can figure out, like what happened in the past, and you can kind of create a model for what might happen in the future as we're facing rising temperatures. So there is a great deal that can be understood by studying tree ring records. And the data visualization piece that's in our show, for example, is based on data collected from a eastern hemlock tree that is, as far as we know, still growing at Mohonk Preserve, that sprouted in 1579. So we have 421 years of data about this tree and can look at where the rings are really skinny. That corresponds with the late 16th century mega drought, and so forth.
And ultimately, to make sure that we don't screw it up, or we don't screw it up any more than we already have, right? That we let that tree grow and continue to grow.
That, and also
honor the beauty of that
honor
tree.
Rather than clobbering people over the head with the necessary imagery about the Amazon's on fire and
right.
et cetera, et cetera, I really wanted to get behind the beauty of nature's design, and that behind every aesthetically beautiful landscape, there's a lot of processes going on, and that the artists of the Hudson River School were quite keyed into to those processes, just as my artists that I've commissioned today are.
So talk about that commission and this exhibit that opens on the 12th and at Hudson Hall and runs through the 21st. So
yes.
Two questions. Talk about the commissions and then ultimately how people can walk through it and get the most out of this experience.
There are seven artists in all. Four of them are made new work for Lightfield for this show. Sarah Bird her work is mainly with trees. She is making a life-size picture of a redwood tree.
Mm.
And so she came out here and worked with an arborist to photograph at Hemlock at Olana, Frederick Church's home and landscape, and some other trees in the area. Christopher Griffith is a new commission. He and I went to Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory's Tree Ring Lab in the Palisades and played with their wonderful collection of tree slabs and made photographs of those. Laura Plageman, who comes from, who lives out west, but she flew out here and hiked all over Mohonk Preserve and surrounding areas to make pictures in the style that she makes them. And you have to come to the show to see them. They're extraordinary. And then Genevieve Hoffman is a data visualization artist who took this 421-year, like, it's basically an Excel spreadsheet of tree ring growth for this hemlock and made a visualization of this tree growing. And then there's featured work by three artists that had already been made that we're including, Tim Davis, Tanya Marcuse, and Daniel McCabe. Your question, what do you want, what should people come away with after this show? And I want to also give time for Saskia
well, yes,
to
I
talk
wanna get
about
to that,
it.
About the young.
I
Or the best way to explore it, the best way to go in and what you
and
hope.
What to do.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is that it's not a large exhibit, and Hudson Hall is not large. So there's a center gallery, and then there's a room that we have art in, and then there's two adjacent rooms that come off the center gallery. So you will, seven artists, you're going to find it easy to walk through it fairly quickly, but also it's such a nice space. You can also hang out and absorb what's on the walls to your heart's content. I think that again, you're gonna come away with the idea that behind the beauty of what you see on the walls is a fair amount of rigor and thinking on the part of the artists for what they were after when they were trying to make this work. And that I want to connect the science because what I found talking to the scientists at Harvard Forest and at the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory is you can't just get people on board with the issues of climate change kind of from the top down.
Mm.
A lot of what the Hudson River School artists did in the mid-19th century was they said, this wilderness that through a European viewpoint is seen as kind of savage and wild and not worthy of a subject as a subject matter is worthy as a subject matter. And it should be, we have to think through the tensions of progress versus the past and the natural past. And I think that those are all super real and relevant today, those kinds of worries and anxieties. So I'm hoping that people are taken in by the beauty and that makes them want to protect it.
So Saskia, let's go to you and talk about the Young Photographers Workshop, what that is, and how ultimately people are participating.
So the Young Photographers Workshop is now a three-day workshop that we partner with the organization Perfect 10 Hudson, which is an after-school program that helps empower young women in Columbia County. And the participants beforehand are asked by the director if they're interested in visual arts and if they'd like to do photography and video projects. So everyone in the program is already interested in media making. And we get together and spend three full, long, intensive days during the summer to make all new work that will then be exhibited alongside these very, you know, renowned photography artists at the exhibition.
So at the opening on October 12th, that this art will be presented.
Exactly. So this year, we had the idea that we should make a collective project because not only do we have to consider how to protect the environment from a personal level, we have to learn how to work together collaboratively to do that. So we decided to make a video piece in which each girl would have to work together collaboratively to make a project that they were proud to show.
And as far as of what we see, so how many pieces?
So there's going to be one video piece, and then we're going to have a behind-the-scenes kind of montage of collages, Polaroids, behind-the-scenes photography that the girls made all throughout the 3 days together.
Well,
their storyboard illustrations. So it was...
It's a lot of work in 3 days.
Yes. So they had their hands on every single part of the process from conceptualizing the video they want to make, recording the sound that ultimately becomes the soundtrack for an original score in their film, styling their costuming, their right. acting, camera operating, all of that.
Whitefield Arts Photo Plus Synthesis opening this Saturday, October 12th from 5 to 7 at Hudson Hall in Hudson, New York. The exhibition is on display through the 21st of December. You can find out more information by going to whitefield.vu. Whitefield.vu. You can also go to hudsonhall.org for more information. Those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you both so much for coming in. Have a beautiful opening.
Thank you.
Terrific.
Come on down for it.
Thank you very much. Hudsonhall.org, whitefield.vu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.